Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, students, friends, family, everybody on the internet, welcome to episode 86, I believe, of the Teacher Emilio podcast. I am your host, Emilio, and today it's an episode for updates. Maybe you have seen the title. It is extremely unfortunate what has happened. It is, well, as you may know, Akira Toriyama passed away, who is basically the creator, the artist, the person who made Dragon Ball. And it is a bit of a shame because it is such an iconic show, and I think that lots and lots of people grew up watching Dragon Ball. It's crazy because a part of me is sad, and at the same time a part of me thinks it is just very unfortunate, because when I think about Dragon Ball, there are so many good memories, so many things that happened. I remember growing up, and I'm sure that I was just telling one of my colleagues, I would almost bet that it is hard to find people born between 1980 to 1999 that would, maybe 1999 is getting pushing it a bit too much, but I still remember that feeling when I would finish school, and then as soon as classes were finished, I would rush home, or I would be wondering, or people would talk about what's gonna happen with the martial arts tournament, what would happen to Goku, what would happen with Frieza, Cell, Majin Buu. And also, probably it is so hard to imagine a time when, like, someone didn't play, or someone never tried doing the Kamehameha or things like this. So it is a bit of a shame, the fact that he passed away. To do a bit of vocab practice, when someone dies, it is much better to say this person such and such has passed away, because it just sounds a little bit more polite and respectful for the person. You could say, oh yeah, Akira Toriyama is dead. You could, but it's all, or he died. But maybe that's not that good in day-to-day conversations. And well, that's again one thing. When I think about Dragon Ball, and just to move on into a new topic, when I think about Dragon Ball, a part of me, it's just crazy. I would say, for me, I would have to put like Dragon Ball up there with like Rurouni Kenshin, or if you are from South America, if you speak Spanish, Samurai X, because those are two series, but especially Dragon Ball, it's a series that it's been so iconic, and there is so much Dragon Ball influence in the world of anime. Just to give you a very easy example, I love One Piece. One Piece is incredibly good, but the main character, the protagonist, Luffy, is inspired or heavily influenced by Goku. Actually, Eiichiro Oda, who is the, let's say, the creator of One Piece, he has been heavily influenced by Goku. Sorry, by the creator of Dragon Ball. Sorry, Akira Toriyama. So again, it's something that is such a huge influence. And anyways, it's just great. Or it's been great, I should say, watching the show. And probably that's one of the reasons that made me start learning Japanese, watching anime shows. Background noise, my apologies. So that's probably one of the things that got me started in the first place when I started learning Japanese. Like, oh, it would be so cool if one day I could read Dragon Ball. And it's just, again, so nice. Actually, the very first comic book that I bought was Dragon Ball. So I bought a comic book of Dragon Ball and one of Rurouni Kenshin. And well, that's a bit about that. I'm gonna say, or a part of me thinks that Akira Toriyama is a bit like Elvis. And I'm throwing a spoiler here. If you haven't watched the Elvis movie, I highly recommend it. What this guy did, he's basically had easily half of the planet, if not more. A whole generation, lots of people from different countries and backgrounds. Everyone likes and loves Goku. And it's just good crazy that this happens. I feel like a lot of people start watching anime, a lot of people think about going to Japan because of Goku, because of Mario, because of course technology, and also obviously culture, But what this guy did, it's just crazy. There are many times when I talk to friends or when I talk to family members, well, not family members, when I talk to my nephew about anime, one quick thing that I always tell him is, or he would tell me, oh, Dragon Ball is good, but it's not that good. What I tell him is, you have no idea how good it is, because when Dragon Ball was such a big thing, like, let's say in the mid-90s, there was no Netflix, there was no Crunchyroll, and it was really hard. You had to wait for a long, long time. I still remember waiting and waiting until the episode when Goku becomes Super Saiyan 1. Probably one of the best all-time episodes of the show. And what would happen is, as I mentioned before, you would need to wait, go home, and then the worst thing would happen is like one episode before that thing would occur, and then boom, the series would be back to the beginning. So you would need to wait another 2 months or 3 months. And that happened a few times, not only with that episode, but it happened in general with the show. So that's, I guess, one of the things about watching anime or watching those shows back in the day, you know? Now you can just watch it on Netflix, you can put YouTube, or you can just pay for a streaming service and you're all good. But before, that was not a thing, when you had to watch by cable TV. So yeah, it is crazy. And I'm gonna steal someone's quote saying that I'm not sad, but it's one of those deaths that really hit you. And it's someone that I've never met, but someone who brought lots of joy to my life, and well, not just mine. And talking about my life, some of you have asked me, or you know, some people have wondered, hey Emilio, what happened with the podcast? Are you uploading episodes? And thank you for one, checking up on me, and two, for asking. But to be very honest, it's just, I guess, a mix of adult life kicking in. I love recording episodes, I love having interviews, I love making videos like this. But at the same time, I also have a full-time job. I'm studying in university again, so it's a bit tricky. And I'm also doing a lot of study. As you know, I want to pass the proficiency test in Japanese, and well, not to my surprise, but it is extremely tough. And I suppose it's a mix of telling myself what I tell students when they want to pass IELTS and PTE, that it is a process and that I have to just be mindful that things take time. And I guess it's just different, because when I think about when I started learning Japanese, even when I think about the time when I was passing or preparing for IELTS and PTE, I had a much more free time. So I could not plan or think too much about, oh, I'm gonna have this much time to study. Whereas now, more things are happening in life, so I gotta be more strategic when it comes to when I'm studying, for how long I'll study, or what am I gonna do? Because, I mean, in reality, or ideally, if I have the chance to study for, I don't know, let's say 3-4 hours a day, I would. But as I said, it's just not doable, it's not possible, in the sense that there are other things happening. And yes, I could stop, let's say I could study more, but studying more would mean maybe recording fewer episodes, and that's actually what's happening. So it's like, okay, studying a bit more, but then maybe a little bit less time, or maybe less pressure when it comes to recording these episodes. And I've been well, I'm trying not to go crazy with all this good pressure. And I always remind myself about the time when I did the Ironman race, because I remember when I was preparing for this race, I mean, all in all, now that it's all finished and everything, I can look back and tell myself, look, I didn't just prepare for the Ironman. First I did one race, then I did another race, then another race, and everything eventually led up to that event. I guess the tricky thing is that this Japanese test I'm preparing for is mainly self-study. I've got support, probably not as much as I did when I took the Ironman, but that's, I guess, one of the differences. Or at least when I was, for example, preparing for this race, I feel like there were more people I could talk to about it that would understand. But now, when I think about this exam, yes, there are people around me that know about the test, but maybe they are not preparing fully for that exam, or they just know it is hard, but it's, I don't know, it's hard to put it. But I don't want to be like, oh, no one understands me, because that's not the point, what I'm trying to say. But it's so tricky. It's so tricky, balancing or trying to maintain balance. And as I said before, I'm always telling myself, look, Emilio, relax. It is not a matter of, let's say, it is a matter of knowing it is a process. I think that's something that I have to remind myself. And well, that's probably a bit of a life update when it comes to the exam. Another good thing that has been happening this year is that I've been helping more students. That's, you know, another thing, a bit more work. And more students are passing IELTS, more students are passing PTE, more PRs, more sponsorships. I think that's good. If you are, I will say, well, I'm just gonna say generally speaking, and this is making a bit of a reference to episode, maybe two episodes ago, when I had the interview, when I interviewed Anna, the migration agent. Actually, what Anna said was true. Wait one sec. What she said was true. More and more people are getting sponsorships, and I've been noticing that in my, let's say, private practice, teaching or preparing students for IELTS and PTE. There are more and more students getting ready to apply for a sponsorship. Background noise. Which is good news. I literally had someone like 2 days ago just send me a message around midnight saying, Emilio, I passed my PTE, I can apply for my sponsorship. And I also take this as an opportunity to say that if you're listening to this or if you're watching this, if you know someone who may want to pass these exams, please, please, please tell them to prepare with time. Luckily, the person I just told you was a success story, but we didn't have much time. It was one of those cases where it was almost like I either passed the test, I passed my PTE this time, and I have done it for like 3 or 4 times at least, or I go back to my home country. And I think nobody wants to be in that position. And I say going back to my home country because sometimes when you don't pass these exams, you would need to extend a visa, or if you came to Australia with your partner, maybe someone else has to apply for a visa. All of a sudden it becomes very complicated. And imagine that. You've got, let's say, your visa is expiring at the end of the month, and you wait until the last week of the month to take the test, to then submit your documents for your visa renewal, or for your sponsorship for that matter. So please don't do that to yourself. So if you know someone that might be in that situation, tell your friends, hey, please go back, study, get that test done. So yeah, please, please, please. And if you're watching and you need to do the test, do that favor to yourself. And also to me, because I care about you guys. And if I see any of you in class, or when I see my students in class, sometimes I tell them, please stop. Obviously, you know, I'm not a robot, so when I hear some of those stories, when I get that stress, a part of me is like, oh, come on, why didn't you prepare with more time? Or I said to this student, look, in 3 classes, you are not gonna get 90. There are lots of areas to improve. I think your English is good. It is good to get the score you need. This person needed a 50 overall. But imagine that. I mean, it's a completely different scenario. So much pressure. So again, where possible, give yourself time and basically take the test with some time ahead. And to my surprise, I'm really happy to share this with you. There are, you know how we've got this Latino stereotype that many times Latinos are late, or that Latinos, I don't know, like you would be super late to a party or anything along those lines. Well, that has not been the case. I mean, it's funny because I just told you an example of someone being extremely late to the test. But in the flip side, I've had students joining my courses in January and February, And I've had some, well, not many, but I've got a few of them, or sorry, I should say some students. Just to put things in perspective, let's say 3 to 4 out of 10, so like 30 to 40% of students basically joining a course to learn about the test, to practice, to study, and then I would ask them, hey, when are you planning to take the exam? I'm giving them feedback, and they would be like, no, Emilio, I'm gonna take the test in November. And a part of me was shocked, because November is quite far away from August, sorry, quite far away from January, February. And then I would ask them, hey, you know, out of curiosity, what made you, you know, do the course? Or what made you study so soon? And this person, you know, some of my students would say, well, Emilio, look, I know I need to improve my English, and I want to know about the exam. Going back again to the conversation I had with Anna, in case you haven't watched that video, I'll put the link in the show notes or in the description if you're watching on YouTube. And basically, similar to what she said, there is a chance, you know, there is this rumor that maybe the test scores will increase. So this student just said, look, I just want to practice a bit more, know about the exam and improve my skills. And I'm really happy, humbled to tell you this, because it is great. Something that I always say in terms of preparing for these exams is not just doing a few tricks, not just learning a template. I'm talking to you, PT learner. If you're thinking of taking PT, try not to use a template. That will not help you, trust me. So it's great, because more and more people are thinking more of improving their skills. And that's also something that I always say. Like, why would you try to trick the exam when you could simply improve your skills? That's exactly what I'm trying to do with my Japanese preparation. It's like, yes, there might be tricks, but let me tell you, the best trick is to know, let's say in my case with the Japanese exam, right, is to know the vocabulary words, to know as much as I can, so that when I get questions on the reading section, I don't need to be asking myself, oh, what is this kanji? Kanji is the Chinese character, right? Or what is this word? Or I'm not sure what this question is asking me. This is why we practice these things, because if you are telling yourself, or if you're asking that to yourself during the test, you're in trouble. This is something that I remember telling a PT student. I told him, look, with all due respect, I feel like this is someone who told me very openly, Emilio, look, I've taken a course, I know all the tricks for PTE, but I have a problem. And I said, well, what's your problem? And he's like, look, I've been studying English for, I don't know, somewhere between 3 to 6 months, and I've never been in a classroom. As a teacher, I was halfway through having a heart attack, worried. And then when this person said that to me, I was just wondering how this is coming from someone who, obviously, English and Japanese are complete opposites, but a part of me was thinking, I feel very comfortable in Japanese and the test is super hard. Now I'm talking to someone who has almost never studied English or has got a very weak, low base, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But then this person telling me that, and a part of me is thinking, how did he do the reading section? I mean, if you're having trouble with grammar or basic grammar, vocabulary, with quote-unquote basic words, how are you going to know words like therefore in a test? I don't know. So I asked this person, and I said, hey, how are you doing? How was the reading section? And this student told me, look, Emilio, I've got no idea. I don't know what's happening. I'm like guessing through. It's like, I don't know, I guess a good analogy is like, I am swimming and there is a bunch of seaweed. I cannot see anything. And that's a problem. So I'm happy to be sharing with you the fact that not only this student, but more and more people are thinking of improving their skills. Something that I've never said publicly. I think it's the first time I'll say this now. I guess another thing to think about is, yes, I've heard some people saying like, oh, you don't need really good English skills, or you only need a 5, or you only need a 6. But more so than the score that you need in PT or IELTS, or especially for PT, right? Because with PT, lots of people say, oh, you don't need to have a high score or you don't need to know English to pass the test. I would tell you, as a teacher, as a passionate language learner, as someone who has been in Australia for 12 years, you need good English skills. When you go to a party and there are a bunch of Australians, you need to have good English skills. When you're at a meeting in any type of work and you are the only non-native English speaker, you need to have good English skills. If you want to give a presentation well in English, you have to have good skills. If you need to write a summary about something that happened to you at work, or maybe you want to write a blog post, you need to have good skills. And the list goes on and on. What I'm trying to say is that life goes way beyond these exams, and sometimes thinking of improving our skills is going to give us more benefits in the long term. And well, that's a bit about my update. Life has been good, busy. As I said before, thank you for checking on me. Thank you for watching this video. Let me know what you think about all the things that we covered. I should have asked that way earlier. If you're a Dragon Ball fan, I feel you. If you are getting ready for these exams, get in touch either via Instagram or by email. Everything is in the description. And thank you again for your support. I hope that you enjoyed this episode as much as I did. I'll see you in the next one. I promise it'll be soon. And I've got some really cool interviews planned, so just give me a bit of time. Hopefully not more than 1 or 2 weeks. And until then, I'll see you on the next episode. Take care and bye for now. Boom!